Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva the Verve.
Hey, how are you guys doing? All right. Man, my name is Vince, and I just want to welcome you again. We are so glad that you're here today for the second week ever of Verve. This is pretty cool. Church, for people don't like church, Monday night, some weird stuff going on, but it's working. We had a couple hundred people here our first few Sundays, and people are here Mondays, and so we're excited that you're here. We moved here a year ago just to try to make a difference in Las Vegas, and we started a community service organization, and we met some friends along the way, and together, a week ago, we launched this church, and we're really excited that you now have a chance to be a part of that, and not just be a part of the church, but actually kind of get this thing off the ground. And so that's very cool. So today we're talking about broken. By the way, the echo, we're working on that. It'll be gone in a week or two. But today we're talking about broken, and I'm going to get there in a second, but I know you guys are still trying to figure out, who is this guy? What's his personality like? Do I like? And so I thought I would just kind of tell you a story from my life that is very normal for me, and it has something to do with broken, but we'll just kind of let you in on like what my life is like. So 12 years ago, my family moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Same thing. We wanted to make a difference there. And we started a church. We started a homeless organization, which is, they're both amazing. But we lived very close to an outdoor concert amphitheater. And like when the wind was right and the band was loud enough, you could actually hear the concerts in our yard, which is kind of cool. And so one particular night, there's this band playing, one of my favorite bands. It was actually the first band I ever saw in concert back in eighth grade. And I really wanted to go to the show, but I wasn't able to go. And so I was upset about it, but I was like, man, maybe I can be able to hear them from my house. And so the band went on kind of late that night. My wife had decided to go to sleep. And so I opened our bedroom window, sat in the bed next to her, and listened to the concert, and had on a computer and a glass of water, and just worked while listening to the band. I would tell you who the band is, but I'm a pastor, we're in church, it's not like a Christian band and not very respectable kind of band for a pastor like, so I'm not going to tell you who it was, Black Sabbath. And so they start playing, and I'm like, sweet, I could totally hear it. And so I'm sitting there kind of rocking out and enjoying the concert, working, drinking my glass of water, whatever. And so about halfway, I'm like, man, they haven't played this one song yet. I'm surprised. And then the concert ended. They still hadn't played the song, and I'm waiting for the song. And so they came out and did their first encore. I'm like, oh, here it is. Nope. And then they came out and they did their second encore. I'm like, nope. And then they came out and did their third encore, and it was that song. And I was psyched. And so, because I was psyched, I did like a kind of like a rocker fist pump up in the air because, well, you know. And so I did this rocker fist pump up in the air. Well, we had a shelf over our bed. And the shelf had like picture frames and a nice little glass bowl of potpourri. And I don't know why. And as I did the fist pump up in the air, my fist hit the shelf. The shelf, which I think I had put in with like a nail or something, came flying off the wall. The picture frame on it came hurtling down and direct hit right into my glass of water. The water sprayed all over my sleeping wife. Glass shattered and went flying everywhere. Then the shelf came down, hit my wife across her shoulders and me kind of across my legs. And then potpourri came down like a gentle snow. It was everywhere. My wife, woken up by the splash of cold water, by the crash of the shelf on her, and the potpourri, like winter snow, screamed, and I quote, word for word, "What's happening to me?" And I was like, dude, this song just came on. I've been waiting for it all night. You know what? You know what's funny, looking back at that story? I'm pretty sure we never put that shelf back up. The potpourri bowl just stayed broken. The shelf stayed broken. The picture frame stayed broken. Everything just kind of stayed broken. Yeah, kind of sad. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll talk about broken. So, God, we talked last week about how it took me a long time, but I've come to this point where I believe that you're real, that you care about us, and that you can make a difference in our lives. And so that's what we ask tonight, that you would meet us where we're at individually, and that you'd speak to us, and you'd help us to take next steps in our life in a direction that would turn our lives into something beautiful. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. So, last week, whether you're here or not, we talked about bad. We talked about the fact that God has an unconditional love for bad people like me. and that we're going to be a church for bad people, for people who are like, I can't go to church, I'd never be accepted, you know, whatever. This is a church for people who are bad and maybe have been turned off from church because they feel like, I can't fit in, my life isn't perfect like theirs. So that's what we talked about, bad. And here's my guess, though. I would guess that a lot of people would say, yeah, I admit I'm bad. I've made some mistakes. I've made some wrong choices. I've screwed up my life a little bit. Yes, I'm bad. But I think the bigger problem for me is that I'm broken. I think it's that I'm broken. Our purpose here at Verve, and you need to know this if you're trying to figure out, do I want to be a part of this or not? Our purpose is love God, love people, turn the world upside down. Okay, that's what we're going to be about. We're going to be about trying to get to a place where we all love God, love people, and we make a difference in this world and turn the world upside down. Here's what's true, though. If you're broken, it is extremely difficult, almost impossible, to really love God or love people. And I tell you that from experience. I grew up with an extremely abusive father, like verbally and emotionally abusive. Just it was his thing. Occasionally physically abusive, not a lot, but occasionally. Like, I had this one vivid memory of him bringing home a bad report card, him punching me in the face, which wouldn't have been a big deal to me. I was kind of used to that sort of thing, except for it was right in front of my grandmother. I was like, that's not cool. And so he just had this way about him. And so my childhood is just filled with memories like that. Like one was when I was 7 years old, my father woke me up in the middle of the night. And I was like, what's going on? What? And he said, we're moving. And I said, we're moving? Why are we moving? And he said, we're moving right now. Come on, get your stuff. We got a truck outside. Let's go. And so in the middle of the night, we packed up a truck with all of our stuff because my father was trying to get away from some people and some things. And we frantically filled this truck up and took off from New Jersey to Florida in the middle of the night. Well, my dad and I drove the truck down to Florida. My mother and sister drove our car, and they stopped on the way to see some family. So my father and I got there like a day ahead of them. And so we went out for dinner this night in Florida, and my dad was talking to the waitress and laughing with her and stuff, but I didn't think anything of it. And then we went to our hotel room. And I am like sad, man. It's like I just left all my friends behind. I didn't get to say goodbye to them. I miss my mom and sister. But I'm thinking, well, it's kind of cool. I get to stay in a hotel room with my dad. But then he told me that he said, hey, I'm going to go out for the night. I got something I need to do. And which at that time, I wouldn't even occur to me, the waitress, but it was the waitress. And he said, so I'm going to lock the door. If anyone, not just, you don't let anyone in. I've got the key. So you're just going to be here by yourself, but you'll be fine. And so don't worry, I'll be back in the morning. And he locks the door and leaves. I'm 7 years old. And I got to say, man, like I was scared out of my mind. I kept peeking behind. I vividly remember looking between the curtains to see if there was anybody out there. And just the pain of having to leave my friends and just all of it. And wondering, is he going to come back? Because he would disappear for weeks at a time. And I'm like, what if he doesn't come back? He's never disappeared and my mom not be here. Like, how would she find me? And I'm just in raw pain. And what I did was I saw an ashtray sitting on a dresser. And I took it in the bathroom, broke it in the bathtub, and tried to slit my wrist. Which I have no idea as a 7-year-old how you even know that, but that's what I did. And obviously I wasn't successful. And so I got freaked out that my father would figure out what I had done and come back and beat the crap out of me for it. And so I like meticulously picked up every little sliver of glass and threw them out. But then I spent the rest of the night worried out of my mind that my father was going to come back, see that there was no ashtray in the room, which is ridiculous, he didn't even smoke, but kind of somehow figure out what I had done because there was no ashtray and I'd be in trouble. And I remember sitting in that hotel room and thinking to myself, I never want to feel this way again. I am not willing to feel this way again. And I made a decision, like as a 7-year-old kid, I am not going to let people get close to me. I'm not going to love people. I'm not going to love. I was. And so, like, a bunch of challenging to love through a wall, you know? And so I wasn't really allowing God to love me. And the Bible wasn't loving people. I had all kinds of messed up relationships because I was such a broken person. And it's had an impact on you ever since. Broken people. Does God even know what I've been through? Does God experience, and by the way, if you do say, man, I've never read the Bible, I'd be kind of interested in doing this, you might want to start with a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. I say to you, get up, the dead man sat up and began to talk. And you have to wonder what he said, right? Like, was he like, who won the game? What? I don't know. I wonder. Nain. And, by the way, little historical note, if you enter the town of Nain, humor me. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, he's singing songs. So, he comes to this town called Nain, and there's this funeral procession. We don't really know a lot about what happened here. The lady's a widow. When did her husband die? We don't know. Her son died. How did he die? We don't know. Does she have any daughters? We don't know. Good guess at is that probably her son had died in the last 24, 36 hours. Because back then again, like it's becoming, it's dawning on her. We're told in the story that as he went up, it says his heart went out to her. Now, the Bible's in front of you, that would be good. Because it's like a guttural kind of thing, right? So we'll all understand if there's a little splatter behind us. Ready? One, two, three. Splogna. Yeah. You know why I like that? When you see the starving child in Africa, right? And you're just like, oh, like your stomach hurt. Is that this was a very ordinary scene. Like if you walked out, you know, tomorrow of work, normal. I mean, people die every day. And when they die, this is what they would do. They would have a funeral procession for the ordinary scene. But often. Now, coffins back then were not what we think of. So you got to kind of throw out your idea of coffin. So there was no sides, there's no top. And so probably the idea here is Jesus didn't go up from Jesus' time. The religious rulers ruled. And for them, it was all a body or anything that was touched by a dead body because that was considered unclean. And if you touched it, you then... By the way, we say we're a church for people who don't like church. Why don't people like church? I think one of the reasons is because religious people today are so similar to religious people back then. Religious people today, so many of them are just all about external cleanliness and following the rules so that we can keep up our appearances before everybody else. And we don't really care about our hearts or your heart. We just want to make sure that everyone looks good on the outside. And if that's something that has turned you off from church, man, I totally agree. And you need to know that God agrees. And that God is not like that. In fact, we see in the story that Jesus walks up and he touches the body or he touches the coffin. And everyone probably was like, whoa, because you can't do that. That's against the rules. But it was almost like Jesus was saying to them, you don't understand. To follow your rules would not allow me to show the compassion that I must show. And so I have to break your boundaries. And I want you to know that at Verve, we're going to be exactly the same way. We're going to be able to, willing to break whatever religious policies we have to break to show compassion for people who need compassion, to reach out and touch the sick, and to be used by God to bring healing to the broken. And so Jesus reaches out and he touches the boy or the coffin. And I feel pretty confident saying probably the crowd gasped because of what he just did. But then something more incredible happens. As he touches him, the boy gasped. Like air goes back into his lungs and he starts breathing again. He starts talking. And it's this incredible thing where this boy who was dead is now alive. But something else really amazing is happening here as well. Because Jesus gives the boy back to his mother. And back then, women were dependent. And this isn't cool, but it's just the way it was. Women were dependent on their husbands and their sons. This is a widow who no longer had a husband, and this was her only son. And so losing her son when she had no husband meant she had lost all hope. But who knows what would have happened to this lady? Who knows what she would have had to do, things probably she never would have imagined to earn an income. And so when Jesus gives her back her son, he's not only giving her back her son, he's also giving her back her hope. It's quite a story. And so here's the thing. I wanted you to notice how Jesus felt and what Jesus did. And the reason is because if you're broken like me, and I'll just say, I don't think there's anyone who's not. Okay? I think life is really tough. And no one gets through it without getting banged up at least a little, okay? And so if you're a little broken, a lot broken in some way or another, like I am, then you need to know, how does Jesus feel about that? And what does he do?
And so, how does Jesus feel about your brokenness? His heart goes out to you. His guts are ripped out. He gets this feeling in the pit of his stomach about what's happened to you. Now, you might find that hard to believe, and I understand. You might say, no, because, I mean, yeah, I've been through some things. Everybody goes through things. We're all hurting. We've all been through that. And so my situation is just ordinary. My pain, my brokenness is ordinary. I don't think God notices. But that's the beauty of this story. This funeral procession was ordinary. There were probably lots of funeral processions within just a couple miles that day. But Jesus had an extraordinary reaction to this ordinary moment. And trust me, Jesus notices your pain as well. It doesn't matter how ordinary, it doesn't matter if everybody else in the room has problems. Jesus knows and he feels and he has splagna for your pain. But what can Jesus do? Well, he can fix your brokenness and bring healing to your broken places. And if you find that really hard to believe, I understand. But the deal is, it's that Jesus is not someone who lived. He's someone who lives. And healing broken people is not something that happened. It's something that happens. And Jesus can fix your brokenness. He can bring healing, even if that's hard for you to believe. And if it is hard for you to believe, I want to tell you, you are in the right place. Because this is a church not just for people who already believe, but also for people who do not believe. For people who have lots of doubts. For people who refuse to check their brain at the door. For people who are going to come in here with really tough questions. This is a place for you. And if that's you, man, do I relate and I understand. I told you last week, I know not all of you are here, but I grew up with no knowledge of Christianity. None. And then when I was in college and law school, I started to find out about Christianity. And at that point, I believed nothing about Christianity. And I spent months trying to disprove the Bible until finally I became convinced it was true. And so I decided to become a Christian because I realized the stuff in the Bible really happened. I can prove it now. And so here's the ironic part. I'm now like, you know, this Christian person, and you know, here I go. But I still didn't believe that Jesus healed people today. I could prove to you that these stories really, Jesus still did stuff like that today. And the sad part of that was, it's what I needed. With all the stuff that had happened to me, with my dad, with all the wall, really loving God and being loved by him and messing up my relationships with other people, the thing I really needed was healing from my bitterness and my unforgiveness and all that had happened, but I didn't think Jesus could. And so I understand if you feel that way as well. But I want to tell you, and it wasn't right away for me, but Jesus healed my brokenness. Now, I will tell you, I'm still in process, right? It's not like, I'm completely better. I've got no problems anymore. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that in a huge way, and I'll tell you how, Jesus healed my brokenness. I mean, in a huge way, like people who know me now and know me then would say, he's not the same person anymore. What happened for me is, it didn't happen like I started believing Jesus and I was better. It took a long time. And I think part of it was that I didn't believe he could do it. And so I wasn't even seeking that. It didn't even really occur to me that he could help heal those broken places in me. And so I wasn't even trying for that. Like, it didn't occur to me that it could happen. And I think the other part of it for me was that I wasn't putting myself in Jesus' path. I wasn't putting myself in a place where he could touch me. And I know that's probably confusing, so let me explain. Like, in this story, right? There are probably several funeral processions that very day in the towns right in that area. But only this one boy was raised from the dead. And only this one mother received back her son and her hope. So why just this one? Because they were in the path of Jesus. That's why. Because that boy was in a place where Jesus could touch him. And what I realized in my life is that as I started out this journey with Jesus, I wasn't putting myself in a place where Jesus could touch me. I wasn't putting myself in his path. I wasn't praying about what had happened to me. I wasn't talking to God about it. I wasn't talking to anyone else about it. And so it just kind of lay dormant there. But over time, gradually, I started to kind of, I guess, just open myself up to God and say, all right, like, I've tried to not even think about this stuff, but this is what happened to me. Where were you? Like, why would you allow something like that to happen to me? And how do I forgive? And how do I get past this? And how do I ever trust anyone again to not hurt me like that? How do I trust you? And as I opened myself up to God and kind of put myself in His path, gradually there was this build up. And then it did happen in a moment. And it was a weird moment for me. But I was praying about this now for like the millionth time because I had started really doing this. And it was like there was this moment, I will never forget it, where it was like Jesus reached out and touched me. And it was like bitterness and unforgiveness and stuff. It just was like, I got to tell you, something inside of me went, and it was like in some way I went from dead to alive. And I said, I still have a ways to go, and I'm far from done, but I'm a different person. But what about you? Like, where are those broken places in you? Where are you in need of healing? Because here's the deal. Jesus feels your pain. He's like deep in his gut. He feels it. And Jesus can reach out and he can touch you. And he can bring healing that you've longed for so that your walls can come down and you can start trusting people and you can be loved by God and loved by people. And it's what you've longed for, whether you care to admit it or not. But to do that, you have to put yourself in his path. And I would say congratulations. I think being here is a part of that. And so you're on your way. Good job. And I would tell you that this is part of the reason I would encourage you to keep coming back every week. Because coming here and becoming a Christian and figuring out Jesus, it's not just about becoming a better person. It's about becoming a whole person. You know what I mean? It's about becoming a healthy person. A person who can really love others and God and can accept love from God and others. And we all need that. So we're going to have our band come back up and they're going to do one last song. And during this song, I just want to encourage you to pray and process and think. And it may be some bad memories have been brought up today, and you need to wrestle with that a little bit. This song talks about grace. I don't know if you know this, but the word grace literally means to get the opposite of what you deserve. It's pretty cool, because the idea is that God offers us love and forgiveness and healing. And honestly, we don't deserve that from Him. But He offers it anyway. But here's the wild part about grace. To make grace possible for us, Jesus also had to experience the opposite of what He deserved. And so He did when He suffered and died on a cross for us. See, the mystery in all this, the mystery of God, is that for us to not stay broken, like the shelf over my bed and the picture frame and the... For us to not stay broken, Jesus had to be broken. And that's what He did when He went to the cross. And that's beautiful. And that's grace. And we're going to sing about that right now.